Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob. And this week, Coach Josh is actually in St. Louis with his family, having some fun out there. And so we call ourselves coaches here at Maywood as leaders because we believe in Ephesians chapter 4 when it talks about the purpose of a church leader is to equip the people of the church to minister. That really we're all supposed to be ministering, we're all supposed to be serving Jesus, and it's only when we all work together that we really reflect Jesus to independence. So that's why we call ourselves coaches.
Do you have a thought? I have an announcement for all of you who are fanning. We have a brand new air conditioner, and it is fabulous. It is installed and it is working, but it cannot take the heat outside. So when the back doors were open, letting people in, which we're really glad you're here, we also let in all sorts of humidity and heat. About the time Jake and I are finished, it'll be cool. All right?
Yeah. Okay. So sorry about that, guys. Last week, we started a new series on the life of King Asa. I'm guessing that most people in the room last week had never heard of King Asa before last week, and this is your first time here. It's probably the first time you've heard of him. Well, he's buried in the middle of the Old Testament. He was a king thousands of years ago in the little country of Judah. Last week, we talked about when he became king, he decided he was going to follow God, and he started to take out all the other gods that his nation were worshiping and say, we're just going to follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he did that, and God gave him about 10 years of peace, and he used that time to build up what God had given him. And we talked about in our lives, if you're not in the middle of a crisis, it's actually a time to build. It's a time to invest in the relationship that God has given you, the gifts that he's given you, the talents that he's given you. It's a time to build up the good things that God's blessed you with. But his life, last week we saw, isn't always easy. And he had this giant army come and outnumber his army at least 3-1. And they had better technology than his army had. And it was a crisis. A crisis happens when no amount of our own craftiness or intelligence or preparation or strength can get us out of our problems. And so he was backed into a corner and he turned to God and he said, God, we're weak, but we know you're the God who helps the weak. You help the powerless. And so he cried out to God for help. God helped them. They had victory. Their country was saved. And so that was last week's story. We were coming out of 2 Chronicles 14. We didn't get to read the whole chapter, but every week Wayne, one of our other coaches, writes a Bible study on our website every week. So if you ever want to go a little deeper into what we're talking about with the sermons, he always writes every week a little Bible study to lead up to the next sermon. So if you want to check that out, it's on the website. It's got a bunch of links there right on the front page if you go to that. So that was last week. This week we're going to be in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles. And coming off of that giant victory, a prophet comes, somebody who's got a message from God. They comes to King Asa, and he gives Asa this little speech from God about if you follow God, things will go well for you, basically. If you seek God, things will go well for you. And he closes his statement with this, or when Asa hears all of this, the prophet telling him that things were bad before you became king, before you started following God, but now, if you keep following God, things are going to go good. This is what 2 Chronicles tells us. It says, when the king heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. And we're going to be talking about that a lot today, that little phrase, he took courage. Because the whole rest of the chapter tells us what that courage did in Asa's life. And so he goes through the whole kingdom, and like we talked about last week, idols pop up. Things that we try to worship instead of God seem to pop up. He clears the country of idols. He gathers everybody together in the whole country, and they commit themselves to God. He builds up the altar of God. And he gets into some other nitty-gritty stuff that we'll talk about here in a little bit. But this idea of taking courage or having courage is what we're focusing in on today.
So what's courage? I've got a few pictures here to show you to give you examples. Courage is basically doing the right thing in the middle of fear or uncertainty. So, Eric, I quoted you in the early service. I'll do the second service. Courage is really doing, Eric Gossie, yes, Mr. Dodge Man. Courage is doing the right thing, okay, even though you're surrounded by fear or uncertainty. This picture is a picture of some firefighters during the 9/11 terrorist attack who are doing the right thing, acting on their training, acting on impulse, acting with a great deal of courage. They climbed a burning building to rescue people. Next picture is a picture of similar sort of courage, and it's normal for us to think about people in battle and war. And so courage is, again, doing the right thing in the midst of risk to your life. Just great fear, great uncertainty, doing the right thing. As I read some this week about courage, I learned that courage is not just in those two really typical areas, but courage can also be that of taking care of a little child. And so I know in the early service we talked about this, and I had a couple of parents who just really nodded. A lot of times if you have a child who has a chronic illness, whether it be something neurological or it may be some behavioral disorder or it might be some long-term physical thing, you as a parent know the struggle and the strain. And what's really interesting is as I did some thinking and reading about that, there's a huge amount of courage in doing that. There's fear, what's going to happen to my kid. There's uncertainty, how are we going to handle? Sometimes it's uncertainty, how are they going to act out in public? What are they going to do? How are they going to be? There's all sorts of things, and it takes an enormous amount of courage to do that. Slide to the other end of the age spectrum, there's some people who are caring for a loved one who has a serious illness. And to walk a loved one through that, I remember there was a man years ago whose wife had Alzheimer's, and he spent so much time and energy caring for his wife. He had a stroke, and they both ended up in the nursing home together because of his courageous and loving care for his wife. So courage can look like that. Courage can also look for people who are working with addiction. In fact, some of the most courageous people I know are folks who have said, I am going to, despite all the fear that surrounds me, despite the uncertainty of a new life that I have, I am not going to go use, I'm not going to go drink, I'm not going to go escape in this world that's non-productive. I am going to stay the course and do the next right thing right in front of me. And as somebody who's not been addicted to substances, I've got plenty of other addictions, but somebody who's not been addicted to substances, you all need to know who you're dealing with. You've got a lot of admiration for me. The courage that you have to get up every day and to say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to win. I'm going to deal with the stuff in my life. We're going forward. That's huge. There's one other courage I'd like to just talk about, and this is an interesting picture. And you can pick whoever one you want to be in the picture, either the girl or the guy. And as a guy who does some counseling from time to time with people, I'm not a counselor, but preachers get to be counselors. As a guy who do that, one of the things I have learned is you can lay out before someone the best course of behavior. And they can sit in your office and they can nod and they say, boy, Pastor, that is the right thing to do. And I know, and I don't know whether they know, but I know that the majority of them aren't going to do it. And the reason why they aren't going to do it is because it takes an enormous amount of courage to deal with the issues of life. And this story might be like this. She was in a small group. She was in a counseling session. She read her Bible, and the words jumped off the page at her and said, you know, that relationship with that guy isn't going anywhere. It isn't right. It isn't good. You shouldn't be there. And she just told the fella, see you later. And he's walking off, and she's brokenhearted because she's full of fear. What is my life going to be like without him? How's uncertainty? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to get along if they have kids? What am I going to do with the kids? There's a lot of stuff there. Flip it around. Maybe it's the guy who had the very same experience. He was in a small group, and he said, you know, this connection is not good for you. This is not healthy for you. You're not going anywhere with this, and you need to make a move. What if it was something like that? And he walked away, and she's broken heart. You can't see his face, but he is too. The story could be a lot of this. It takes a lot of courage to do the right thing, okay? To do the right thing in the midst of fear and uncertainty, whichever it might be. So with all that being said, Jake, tell me something. Is courage something that you're just born with? Or is there a little store up in Englewood where you can go by and get a paper bag full of courage and you walk out of there and got that under your arm, I got it covered. What? Tell me about it.
So, yeah, I think courage, like any sort of trait that's good inside of us, I think it can grow or it can die in us. We can become more courageous or we can become more cowardly as we go through life. And right now, as we ask this question, can you have more courage? Can you get more courage? Most of you, myself included, our first thought is, yeah, how do I get more courage? Or how do I become more courageous? But I want to flip it around today to kind of fit into what happens in 2 Chronicles 15. And that is, this prophet goes to King Asa, and what he says to King Asa literally gives Asa courage. The Bible tells us that first verse read, as soon as he hears what he had to say, he took courage. And the word encouragement, as you probably can guess after seeing courage and encouragement right next to each other, right there in the middle of encouragement, it's giving someone courage. Normally we kind of use praise and encouragement, you know, patting somebody on the back. We kind of use those words interchangeably. But to give encouragement to somebody really means to pay attention to somebody else and to see potential in them and to tell them about it, to tell them about the potential you see in them. So even if they've failed, you can still be encouraging. You can encourage someone saying, I saw that you persevered even though you lost the game. Your attitude during the whole game, that you kept trying all 9 innings or whatever, that attitude is going to take you really far. And you could be a great player someday. That's encouragement. It's not actually praise. You're not saying they did a good job that day with the game. But you're saying, I see potential in you. And that's what the prophet said to the king. He said these words to him. He said, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. So he didn't tell him, like, man, when you were out there in the battle and you guys won against the Cushites, it was so cool. You were such a good general. You're awesome. Like, he could have just said that. I'm sure a lot of people were telling the king that. That's praise. It's not bad. But he encouraged him by actually pushing him to go farther. He didn't just say, oh, what you already did is so great. He said, don't give up, because your work's going to be rewarded. There's a payoff in the future. You have potential, is what he's telling the person. That's how he's encouraging them. And so as much as we might think, like, oh, I need more courage, I think we could turn that around a little bit and say, who is a person that you could encourage? Wouldn't it be great at Maywood if we were the type of place that encouraged each other? I think all of us would start to be more courageous if we started to pay attention to people and, like the prophet did, listen to God about people. And then we had the guts or the courage to go talk to them and say, I see this potential in you. Don't give up, because there's going to be a payoff if you stay the course. So that's what encouragement is. I think it's important for us to take that from the chapter.
Let me just spend a minute. This is worth underscoring a whole bunch. In fact, we could spend a whole sermon on it, but we'll spend just another second or two. I told the early service, I'm going to tell it again, okay? I used to be a runner back 35 years ago, and I didn't weigh this much then, in case you're wondering. But a friend of mine got me to run in a 10K race. And he was a great runner. I was just sort of I'd been running for a couple of years, but I wasn't anywhere in his caliber. And so I still remember like it was yesterday, there were 106 people in Cape Girardeau running. We had one route that we'd run and come back. And at the end of the first mile, I had run my fastest mile other than just a single mile that I'd ever run. And there were 100 people ahead of me and only 6 behind me. And one of those 6 had a heart attack, had to go to the hospital. And so I'm competitive. Those of you who've worked out with me know I'm competitive. There was a group of women in front of me, and I said, I'm not going to let them win. And so I set my sights on passing them. It took 4 miles to catch them. And at the end of 4 miles, I had caught all of them, and then I died. Literally. I mean, I had nothing left. I'm serious. I was waving off the side of the road. When one of the women passed me, she said, are you okay, sir? I said, I'm all right, go on, you know. And every one of them passed me saying, come on, you can make it, you know. All right. So my friend, who I don't know whether he ran or came in second in the race, he finished the whole 10K race, turned around and met me a mile before we finished, and he ran the rest of the way in with me, giving me encouragement. So crazy story, but this is what encouragement is. We're all in the same race together. And some of us are farther down the road than the other people beside us. Encouragement is going back and not just like Jake said, hey, nice job, Jake. No, it is running beside them, helping them finish the race. And so we can have courage when there are other people who are running beside us, helping us finish the race. And you need to look, everybody here needs to look, who can I encourage? I watched Corvin in Sunday school today, and Chris was beside Corvin, and he had him shooting baskets into the trash can. Well, there was Chris encouraging Corvin, okay? Enough said, I could preach on that forever. Let's go to another verse, all okay. Right? Thank you very much. This is another one. This is Jesus told a parable. And in the middle of the parable, he's talking about, in the end, how are we going to be judged? Okay, so he says this, Master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Principle is, when we do the small things, that allows God to give us the bigger things. And that is so true, all right? So to quote my friend, Mr. Dodge Man, Eric Gosse, if you do the right thing today in the small things, that gives you the courage to do the long, large things. So firefighters are trained in small things in their training. They have it put into their system. This is how you respond when there's a fire. So when the big fire comes, they're ready to respond because they have done a whole lot of little small things so they then can do a big thing, correct? Mothers who carry a child for 9 months, we guys are kind of brain dead during that time. But the mothers know there's a child that they're carrying in their womb. And so mothers are already doing those small things as their body is changing to prepare for that child. And when that child's small, I don't know about you all, but my kids had to get big enough to play with before I really wanted to touch them. You know, I was afraid I'd break them. And so they had, you know, they had to get some meat on their bones and some mobility, you know. So the mother cares for that child. That those small things perfectly set them up for the big things of dealing with sometimes huge trauma. The courage, doing the next right thing, the next right thing today, one day at a time, doing the next right thing prepares you for the big temptation that comes down the road. You won't win the big temptation unless you're doing the real good things. Let me flip that around. If you're sliding on some things, well, I can do this, and I can do that, and I can cheat here, and I can get by over there, I guarantee you're not going to have the courage to do the right thing in the midst of fear or uncertainty. Okay? So courage is built one day at a time, one step at a time. Jake?
Yeah, and that last week we really saw that play out. So Asa had 10 years where he did the right thing in the small things, and he was ready when a giant army showed up at the border. He was ready for that big test. So we see the same principle. If you're faithful in the little things, then you can be ready for those big moments of crisis. The thing that excites me the most about this passage in 2 Chronicles that we're looking at, though, is there's a lesson for after the big things as well. So Asa, last week, he was backed into a corner. And that phrase, backed into a corner, reminds me actually of a pet of mine. Christy and I have this cat who's the most scared animal I've ever been around. Like if you close a book loudly, she'll like run out of the room. And literally, she is a scaredy cat. Like that is what she is. But if you take my cat and put her in a corner of a room, and no matter how big you are or tough you are, I mean, we could even put like a grizzly bear in the room. If she's in the corner with no way to get out, nowhere to run, she will fight back. She'll look courageous in that moment, even if it's against a grizzly bear, because she has nowhere to run. Asa had nowhere to run last week when we were reading about him. There's a giant army wanting to kill him and all of his people. There was nowhere to run to. Some of us have hit bottom in life where we had nowhere to run, where we had no one to call up to bail us out, or we had no one to fix our problem because it was so big. And in that moment, maybe we did the right thing. In that moment, maybe we were tough, and we stood up and asked God for help, and we did the right thing just like Asa did, and we were victorious. But if my cat growled at a grizzly bear that had it backed into a corner, honestly, I wouldn't say my cat was courageous. I would say it didn't have anywhere else to run. So that's what it did. Asa, the Bible doesn't tell us he's courageous until chapter 15. When he was backed into a corner, he did the right thing. But it's not until someone comes and gives him encouragement, and then the rest of that chapter, he has options. No one's breathing down his neck making him do the right thing, but he keeps doing the right thing. He changes the way the country's working. He goes and talks to all the people about God. No one's forcing anyone in this room to go talk to somebody about God. That takes guts, but maybe that's how we could follow his example. Or he goes and repairs part of God's temple. He does an act of service to honor God. Nobody was forcing him to do that. Maybe there's some act of service that God wants you to do, but you're too afraid or timid to do it. The last thing he does is the thing that impressed me the most. It's also the most bizarre thing, I think, that happens. So this is a picture of a dirty basement. And in our house, if we have company coming over, anybody, you guys are probably like this too, you know, we'll clean our living room, might clean the kitchen, clean one of the bathrooms or something, you know, but we don't go down in the basement and start cleaning down the basement because it's a mess down there, you know, and like, we're just going to keep that closed off. We're just going to avoid that spot. Well, Asa had a grandmother whose title, the Bible tells us, was Queen Mother. So even though Asa's grandfather had only been king for about 17 years and then died, and Asa's dad was only king for a few years and then died, this grandma has held on to power as a queen mom for all these generations. And even Asa's been king for 10 years, and there's still a queen mother with some political power, okay, hanging around. And I have a feeling Asa's dad didn't really deal with her. Maybe even Asa's grandpa didn't really deal with her. But the Bible tells us she was worshiping a detestable idol, that she was leading people to worship something that was wrong. And so what Asa does at the end of the chapter, he takes courage and he takes away all of her title, takes away that idol, kicks all of that stuff out. And Bob made a good point in the first service. I kind of glazed over like that he stood up to his grandma.
You don't mess with the queen mother. Just real simple. Yeah. I mean, go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, well, just this idea of that takes guts to get into the nitty-gritty of your family dynamics and of political dynamics, and it's kind of like the basement scenario. He could have just covered it up. He could have just avoided that whole issue. And a lot of us, we might have something going on in our lives that we're responsible for. He was king, so he was responsible for what the government did. I'm not saying you have to make all your relatives perfect. Don't try to do that. But with the power you have, with the things under your responsibility, does all of that honor God? Or is there one area that's kind of like the basement in your life where, like, I just let that person do what they want? Or, you know, I know that's kind of wrong to do with our kids, but it's too hard to get them to do it right, so I'm just going to let it happen. Or I know this little area, this little habit that I have, I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I'm just going to keep doing it because it's too nitty-gritty. Real courage doesn't need to be backed into a corner to do the right thing. The firefighters on September 11th, you know, anybody would get out of a burning building, you know, but it takes courage to go into that burning building where there's problems, where there's danger, and to try to help people. Courage as Christians is to say, I'm going to do the right thing with God, even if I have to get into the midst of the messy grime to do the right thing. So we have to get into our basements of our lives and start to clean things up. So that's what Asa does. It's so impressive in chapter 15. This is kind of the high water mark of his whole life. As he says, no one's forcing me to do the right thing. I'm going to choose to do the right thing. And that's what that courage did in his life.
At the end of the day, God helps us to be courageous. It's got another verse. Let's just click that. This is what is said to Asa from the prophet. He said, the Lord is with you when you're with him. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. And if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. And so at the end of the day, there are things that are always bigger than we are. And when they are bigger than we are, we don't have any resources to deal with them, but God does. And I have a lot of sermons over my lifetime, not a lot of illustrations from my lifetime of dealing with them. But I want you to think about the thing that's most important in your life, not mine, but yours. What is the thing that comes to your mind when you talk about courage? What is the thing that comes to your mind when you think about cleaning out some of those basement areas of your life that you've sort of let accumulate and be there? Maybe when I showed some of the pictures of maybe a parent caring for a child or thinking about an adult caring for another adult member or making that hard decision in a relationship or doing the thing you know you have to do. Or what about continuing to stay a sober lifestyle? What about that? As you think about those things, at the end of the day, there is one who is here to help you. He is present in your life. He is with you. He is there for you. I was reading a neurologist on the subject of courage who helped me think through some of this. In his story, he told the story of a child who is autistic but functioning pretty well autistically. And when he turned 16, they changed his medicine, and something in the changing of the medicine changed his brain chemistry severely to where he went from playing on a soccer team as a 16-year-old and mainstreamed in school to where he was contorted sort of grotesquely, and he had some words and speech that would come out of his mouth that he couldn't do, finally got where he couldn't talk at all, and he stayed in a wheelchair, and then he ended up having to go to a group home, but he wouldn't eat in a group home. Only mom could come every day and feed him. I mean, you talk about the absolute worst-case scenario, they had it. And at the end of the day, mom and dad were really, really good with the whole discussion, but here was the gem of the statement. The father said, God has never given me anything to handle that his grace was not sufficient to cover. How did the dad learn that? He didn't pick that up listening to Bob and Jake preach on a Sunday morning. He picked that up by spending long-term time with God, and he knew as he cried out to God that God would make it sufficient. So our encouragement to you today is to look at all that we've talked about and to say, God, I need courage for life. And I'm going to do the small things. I'm going to dig out the grime from the basement. But Lord, I'll tell you what, I'm going to meet with you and let you help me. There's a promise that we've got here. And Jake, why don't you talk about the promise and we'll go from there.
Yeah, this verse is a great verse. It's given specifically to that king, but I think we can apply it to us. This strand runs through the Bible, this idea that God is there when we seek him. And when we look for him, he's going to show up. And when we follow him, he's going to stay by our side. He's faithful to us. He's not going to force himself on us, but he'll stick with us if we'll stick with him. Today in your life, you might be in need of a victory. We talked about last week, cry out to God. If you are in the midst of a crisis you can't handle, ask God for help. But you might be sitting in the pews today, maybe Jesus has helped you in the past. And the question is, if you've had victory in the past, are you going to choose to follow Jesus now that you've got options? Are you going to have courage to follow him? You know, Asa did an act of service for God. He told a whole giant group of people about God, and he stood up to somebody that was doing the wrong thing. You might be running away from one of those areas in your life, running away from serving God, running away from telling somebody else about God, running away from standing up to somebody who's doing something evil. And maybe today is the day where you say, God, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to hold on to this promise, and we're going to do this together. We're going to fight together. I'm going to stop running. I'm going to stand shoulder to shoulder with God. We're going to have a time of response right now. This is a time for you to choose what you want to do. But don't feel like, oh, I can just put off this time, or I can just decide later. Now's the time to be courageous. Now's the time to say, God, I want you in this area of my life. It's a grubby basement, but I want you to fix it with me. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. God, you are faithful and you are strong, and that's why we have courage. Help us to lean on you in this moment and to walk out of here with you and in your strength. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.